When my brother and I were kids, my dad worked for aerospace. He worked in an office, and in fact, out in California, he never really told us. He had a security clearance, and he never really told us what his job was because it was in the Cold War, and it was with the largest defense company in the country at the time, General Dynamics. So he said he would go into lead-lined rooms where chain smokers sat and smoked. And it was like a cross between James Bond and something else, you know. And in order for him to come and get some relief, he loved to do yard work. I complain about this a lot, but it's for good reason. You guys are my therapists, and I'm venting. And Trey and I had, you know, we wanted to ride our Stingray bikes. You know, we got those little, he had a blue one, and I had a green one. And we used to want to ride our bikes with our friends, but no. We had to do yard work. In fact, I'm going to age myself a little bit. We predate leaf blowers. Trey and I predate weed whips, those string trimmers. We predate those. In fact, we had a lawnmower that didn't have a motor. We had to push it. And when we would get a covered wagon and go to the general store to get bags of manure, it was really manure. It wasn't the spray stuff like Ortho, Grow, whatever. We didn't even have mulch. We predate mulch. If we just had had mulch, we could have suffocated all the weeds. But our dad had us pull weeds. And in fact, my brother got in trouble one time because we lived right by in San Diego, right by Mexico. We'd go get our haircuts in Tijuana. So Trey wanted to take a siesta when he would start mowing the lawn or pulling weeds. So my dad made him stand and pull weeds. Now, he reminds me that that only happened once, but for the purposes of this message, it's eternal message. And so he taught us how to fix stuff. He taught us how to, you know, we had to work in the yard, but we didn't have the advantage of any of these tools. Have you ever had to fix things and you just didn't really have the right? How many of you have ever used a wrench as a hammer? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Alexis, where are you, Alexis? She had a little daughter named Tally. Well, Tally married Jared, and John Moore found out that Jared wanted to go on a road trip in his beater. It was a jalopy, and he said, hey, I want to go to the Arctic Circle. I just feel like I need to go on a road trip. So he is getting ready to leave, and thankfully he stopped by and got some pastoral counseling because Pastor John just happened to have a full roll of duct tape in his office and said, here, Jared, you need to take this. I think he saw his car. He saw his resolve. He thought, there needs to be some help in the middle here. There needs to be some. And so he goes north, and he survives. Hallelujah. And he came back, and he said, man, my heater went out. I had to stack blankets on me. I had to scrape the inside of my windshield because of the, you know, you know it's a road trip when you don't have to just scrape the outside of the ice, but the inside of the ice. So his tire had a slow leak and he was out away from, you get out in those remote areas, you don't have gas stations and so forth. So what did he do? Scratched his head, he got out, he jacked up the car and he took the duct tape and he wrapped it this way around the tire. I don't know how he weaved it through the wheel, but he did. And he said it lasted him the whole trip. Say, everything's better with duct tape. But I just want to say that sometimes it's like Humpty Dumpty, you know, where he falls and he cracks and everything in the natural realm, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And there are some things in life that we deal with that we just need something from a different level. And I'll just say someone from a different level. And that would be Jesus. Jesus who came into this world and penetrated this darkness. Like the song says, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, our debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Jesus, the resurrection, Jesus, the good shepherd, came not just to put a Band-Aid on things, but he came to eradicate the sin condition by the power of his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And since he could take care of the big deal that alienates and separates us and causes banishment, if he who never sinned became a sin substitute for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, And we need to put on our seatbelts, check our airbag, and get ready for a launch into a moment right now. Because I believe God wants to eradicate oppression out of your life. And I believe the Lord can come in and do something even greater, bring a total restoration in your life right now. I remember, Patsy and I have had Jeeps. I like Jeeps because they're made in the United States and they're rugged cars. And I just like them. I'm a guy and I like them. She likes them too. So I've had four of them. And you know, the local Jeep dealer, I guess in competition with the second market companies, wanted to make the point that because they were the ones that created and manufactured the car, they have the original parts, not just secondary parts. So I remember having to get some service, and I went into the garage, this beautiful facility, and people were really working. They had a great dynamic there, great culture. But I saw this beautiful hand-painted sign, and it so struck me because it said, "The maker is the repairer." Can you say that? The maker is the repairer. God is interested in intervening. The maker is the repairer. And his lordship is so profound. His promises are all yes and amen. It would be good for us to therefore investigate in the Word of God and find the promises of God, find what he's provided. No, we didn't have a string trimmer. We just had to use our hands. We didn't have a mulch. We had to pull the weeds. We didn't have those kinds of benefits. We just had to do the physical work. But when you come to find out that Jesus came in on such a high level with this goal to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. And the Bible says something so powerful in John chapter 10:10. He's called the Good Shepherd, which was a foretelling of David, who said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus came to pay the ultimate price to redeem us lost souls back to a holy God and impart his own righteousness and give us his promises and his word and the power of his Holy Spirit and the authority of the name of Jesus. I'm so excited about this because I believe there's some people in here that need this. You're going through alarming symptoms. You're dealing with a blasé season of your life. Maybe you're here, you've never really encountered Jesus, and you're trying to process what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian and you've gotten in a place of disappointment. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be disappointed. This is what I want to get over to you, that God knows how to redeem our lives from the pit. Psalm 103, verse 4. Say this with me. He redeems your life from the pit. Now, I love Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. The Bible says that he brought me out of the pit of destruction. I just want to boast in the Lord this morning. Those of us who have been through any length of time, any walk in life, have had to overcome some aggressive and difficult challenges and trials. I know this because I'm with you in life, and many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And also additionally, there are people in this room, you've got credibility you wish you didn't have, but I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to use you and speak through you and bring healing through you, because he rarely extracts healings from the ranks of the unscarred. Survey, how many of you have ever been in the pit? I think Irma Bombeck was such a humorous columnist and a satirist, you know, she said funny things. She spoke from a, you know, middle-aged maternal kind of a thing, but I related as a reader. I love the humor she had and the sensibilities she had. And she said this one thing. She said, "Hey, if life is a bowl of cherries, then why am I in the pits?" And then I thought about how God is good at redeeming our lives from the pit. Think about Daniel when he had an overnight stay in the lion's den. And he didn't have any cat scratches or bite marks. When Jonah disobeyed God and was in the belly of the fish, it was really to preserve him for 3 days. 3 days being digested, bleached, bad hair. I'm sure he gets projectile vomited right in the direction of his calling. Goes right into Assyria, Nineveh, and speaks a prophetic word of repentance, and the city repents. But there's hope for our nation. There's hope for cities. I just want to talk to you about if you feel like you're face down in the hole, but my Lord Jesus knows exactly where you and I are at. And I'm telling you, I want to share three things with you that I think will help you today, because we didn't have weed whips. We didn't have chains. We didn't have a chainsaw. We had to use a handsaw, Trey. So now, look, the Bible says in the end times, knowledge will increase. And there's such a blessing, such good teaching. My wife was watching beautiful Pastor Charles Stanley this morning, and he just sits in that elegant, with that Southern Baptist dynamic, rolling, beautiful Southern baroque voice, and just that deep, rich life of faith just rolls out and just clarifies that the power of God is available for the church today, that redemption is available for people who would call upon the name of the Lord, that healing, that the maker is the repairer. Come on. Come on, man. I want to share three things with you about the toolbox that God has given us. Jesus said, you know, up to this point, you haven't asked anything of me. He said, then he says something so profound. It's history making. From then on, it was the beginning of an era. From now on, he says, ask the Father in my name that your joy may be full. When I heard this as a new Christian, it clarified my prayer life. It took it out of sort of wishfulness and sort of talking to, wondering if God would, how to do it. It put me in touch with a fundamental of the power of the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you find it crass when people drop names? Well, I was hanging out with so-and-so and blah, 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 blah. That's not cool. It's crass. Except and only we take it. We don't just drop the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I want to say some things to you about the name. What's in a name? Recently, the elegant leader of Israel, Shimon Peres, just passed. He was a good man. He was a committed man. And that name is a powerful name, Shimon Peres. It evokes something. Mother Teresa, what a treasure of a... She's from Jakova. She's an Albanian lady that made a difference in India. And, you know, I don't share all of her views on her theology, but I sure do believe in the fruit she bore and the fact that a little sweet little person of conviction can make a difference in the world. There's a power in the name of... You hear about George Washington, and we as Americans... It evokes a sense of national pride. It's like, man, that guy was honorable. They tried to make him a king, and he said no, and he just, you know, he went back into public life, and he was an honorable man. And so yet, I want to tell you, what's in a name? The name of Jesus is above every name. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. I've heard it said this way, it's the name above cancer. It's the name above sin. It's the name above sickness and disease. And I want to urge you and encourage you to understand that even though Trey and I didn't have the chainsaw or the weed whip and we got a power mower later on, but I'll tell you, when you get upgraded, when you get around these amazing truths, because at the name of Jesus, something amazing and extraordinary happened. The early church, they were heading to a prayer meeting. Before this service is over, we're going to pray breakthrough over your life. Because I just sense you need it. I sense that even some of the kids in here, you feel like you're face down in a hole that nobody could even see. I told Patsy today, I said, you know, where do we turn for help? And our conclusion for 38 years of marriage is the Lord. The maker is the repairer. Some trust in chariots and horses and duct tape and other methodologies, but the Bible says we will remember the name of the Lord our God, the name of Jesus. And look what happened. This man was an invalid his whole life. I guess he had paralysis. He couldn't motor himself around. He had to have people carry him in and out, and they put him by the temple so that he could beg for alms. And I've been, Nashville and different places. There's the concentration of those that are struggling and are asking for help. And these are difficult times, and it's a needy world, and we need to do what we can. And that's what Peter and John had, that inclination. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, he was fixing his gaze on them, expecting to receive something from them. And they, he was asking for alms. And they said, we don't possess silver or gold. They didn't have any silver and gold on them. But they said, what we do have, we give to you. What I do have, I give to you. It's important that you look at that for a minute. Because we see the deficits and we see the difficulties, but sometimes we need to go back to the descriptions of the promises of God and realize that the Lord has given us, embedded in this book, precious and magnificent promises, one of which is the power in the name of Jesus. And in fact, it's exemplified right here. Look, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. We don't have gold and silver, but we do have the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a name. What's in a name? All of heaven is embedded in that name. The name of Jesus. Inevitably, it says in Philippians 2, 9 through 10, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's why you and I don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. That's why Paul said, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was in the Roman culture. He was a transplant out of Jerusalem. He was a bit of a foreigner. He's going out on a mission. His primary language is Hebrew, but he's also a Roman citizen. So it's kind of like all of us. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we're still on the earth. So it's kind of almost like a dual citizenship thing. And we speak the vernacular of the world we're in, but we also speak the language, the Galilean accent and the language of the kingdom. Peter and John, they said they're unlearned men, but we could tell they've been with Jesus. And man, when we understand the power of the name of Jesus, it'll see us through. And I just want to say that when I got detached from my diving friends in New Zealand, 80 miles off the shore of the northern tip of New Zealand, and I was in the very, very surging waters of the Three Kings Island. It's like an ESPN destination for spearfishing. And I had flown there. I had preached several times. I had preached before I left. My body was compromised. So I just want to tell you how I got in the hole I got in. I had been seasick for 24 hours. I couldn't eat anything. But I had that 14-year-old determination like guys do. Like even right now, I'm still thinking about starting up skateboarding again. And I'm looking up armor. I'm looking up full body armor people are shaking their heads. I'm not looking at those guys. They're practical over there. I'm looking for some support here. I actually want to skateboard again. We were skateboarders in the 60s. So we took a steel skate. We smashed down the edges and we nailed them to 2x4s. And I felt like we got up maybe 60 miles per hour going down the street into the natal plum bushes. And I just want to do it. I want to do it. I got pulled away from the boat. I got pulled away from my two partners. It's not their fault. I got in a precarious situation between two big rocks that had a surge. It was like a washing machine. In fact, when I was under the water with my snorkel and my mask, the fish were sideways, and the bubbles were like 30 feet deep. And I thought, wow, those fish are struggling here. So think about it. Think about it. I had no business being in that situation. They were over there all enthralled because they were shooting 50-pound yellowtail, and they were busy. And it's counterintuitive. When you go diving, you do a buddy system. But when you have a big spear gun, you try not to be too close to each other. I just want to fast forward this. The next day, I got back in the same water. I shot the biggest fish of my life. And I was banging my mask against my partner's mask. Bam, bam. I'm not kidding. We were like Siamese twins, you know. We're just aiming the other direction. But here's what happened. I went to Bible school. I've been a pastor for a long time. I preached, as I said, several times there. And when I got in that situation, it boiled down to Jesus, Jesus. And it reminded me of something when I was helping. I was in a predicament, and it reminded me exactly of that predicament where I didn't know what to do. Adrenaline was shooting through my body. My mouth was dry and metallic. My mind was racing with all the thoughts of the most terrible things, of the problem I was facing. I was all alone in my car driving, looking for someone. And all I could do was whisper the name of Jesus. Jesus. When I was in that boat situation, and I was away where nobody could see me, I said, Jesus, Jesus. Was I desperate? Yeah. Was it theologically eloquent? Nah. But I knew there was so much power in the name of Jesus. Think about that paralytic guy who's laying there begging. He had to be carried by friends and family and carried away for decades of his life. And he's reaching out, and here comes some guys newly saved, post-resurrection, where Jesus has risen and imparted the power of the Holy Spirit. They've just come up out of the upper room, of the power of God has hit them, and they're going to a prayer meeting. They're not even preparing to go out and do all these things. They're just going to pray. See, this is why I think it's so fascinating, this meeting right now. Because you're here, and we're doing our thing, and some of you are thinking about where to go to get a meal in a little while, and you're in your pattern of staying in fellowship, and that's really important. But did you know that something is being downloaded into your spirit? Two groups. One, you've been traumatized, and God's pulling you out of the pit that you've been stuck in for a while because he redeems your life from the pit. He's good at it, and in Jesus' name, I pray breakthrough over your life. But also, what God does to us, he wants to do through us. And Peter and John had just been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. They said, we don't have any money on us, but what we do have, we give. And so I pray that not only do you get a breakthrough right now, but that you realize you are potentially a breakthrough for the person that is stuck. And that by the power of the name of Jesus, you don't have to be overly flagrant about things. When I was out there in the water, I was whispering through my snorkel, Jesus, Jesus. I was in hope against hope. I knew that the guys came back with me. I said, that's a one in a million. No, it was not one in a million. It wasn't needle in a haystack, no. It's a miracle. And here we are in the heartland, and there's no possibility of this unless you go in the Mississippi River, and then don't do that. But how many of you have been engulfed and overwhelmed and stuck? Thank God he redeems our life from the pit of destruction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In addition to the power of the name of Jesus, I want to remind you of the power tool of the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. With the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, the bulls and goats and the sacrifices that God had set up, it assuaged the guilt sentence on Israel. They laid their hands on the scapegoat, pronounced their sins, the sins of the people and the sins of the priest, and God mercifully covered them year after year. But it was a foretelling of an eradication of the sin condition. The Bible says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus came to impart his own righteousness. So the blood of bulls and goats can't deliver us from the consciousness of sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, it totally eradicates the sin condition. And in fact, in Revelation, the great last book of the Bible, chapter 12, verse 11, it says about the overcomers, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives, even unto death. This thing is bigger than all of us, and it is more important than we realize. And I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit will get on you to get a hold of this, so your prayer life is energized, that you use the name of Jesus like a battering ram against darkness. You go to the Father, and I want to say this about prayer. God's not a reluctant God. God is inviting us. Jesus said, hey, ask the Father in my name that your joy may be full, that you could have, but when you pray, believe that you receive. One scripture says that God's ears are inclined to the prayer of the upright. As a verse in Psalms, it says, if I regard sin in my heart, it sabotages your prayer. That's why it's so wonderful that he grants us repentance and that we as believers can confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 or James chapter 5, I think verse 16, that we confess our sins, we acknowledge those things, and God causes breakthrough. Hallelujah. And then we confess the lordship of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the thunderous power of the shed blood of Jesus. Jesus took the curse and paid the price with his pure blood, pure blood. And it changed everything. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our healings. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Prince of Peace said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was willing. He who had undisturbed fellowship was willing by his blood to pay the price for all of humanity's sin. You guys, this is why I'm so in love with Jesus. This is why I want to preach the gospel. This is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. For salvation, which is the fundamental, but then salvation as it pertains to the daily issues of our lives. This is what I am thankful for that God has given me in my early days, and I've run into good teachers and preachers and pastors and leaders who put me in touch with the reality that, like the psalmist said, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because God's designed you for something more than just managing, settling. I heard a great message about just don't settle, just keep moving forward. Just this week. And then Dritan Gashi and Ina, they found out they're going to have a boy. And he had a word for me. He said, press on with patience. Boy, that ministered to me. Press on with patience. Turn to somebody and say, press on with patience. Say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. How many of you pray? Let me see your hands if you pray. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and acknowledge the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm praying the blood of Jesus over the nation, the United States of America. I'm praying the power of what Jesus has done. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrificed lamb and the altar at the lintels of the doorpost protected the people from the death that was prevalent and the judgment that was coming on ancient Egypt. And God spared the people. There is an amazing coverage when you understand the power and the power of the name of Jesus. Last point, the Word of God. And when Chelsea was a little baby, I just found this out. We asked Bill Shear to babysit for us. I don't even remember how that happened. Pastor Bill Shear babysat for us. And he found my Bible. And he was a brand new Christian. And we had just met there. And he opened up the back of my Bible and he found scriptures where I wrote out the promises of God about who I am in Christ, about the healing power of God, and about God providing. And he took all that and wrote it all down and wrote it in his Bible. I just found this out a few weeks ago. And I concentrated that in my Bible. Why? Because all of his promises are yes and amen. And that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. We're about ready to see the trees turning. I noticed this morning, I went out and caught 2 bass this morning in my pond by my house. Hallelujah. Come on. That's awesome. And I noticed the trees were turning. We're coming into autumn. You know what autumn is? It's where you wear shorts and flip-flops, but you also wear a sweater and you keep chapstick at all times. That's what you do. But I was watching, and the grass withers, the flower fades, the leaves turn, but the word of our God never diminishes, it never tarnishes, it never rusts, it never slips away, it never drifts off, it never weakens. His word is forever settled in heaven. That's why we take hold of it in a moment like this and get it into our spirit. The word of his grace, the word of his authority. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3 that the world is framed by the word of God. I'm convinced the physics laws all come from when God said, and it was so, and he was pleased. The axis was right on the earth and the gravitation. The moon phases were right for the tides and for the seasons. It's all right. Hallelujah. God makes all things just precision awesome. The maker is the healer. And so that's why Bill Shearer, when he saw the back of my Bible, I would pace and pray, Lord, you meet all of our needs. One day when we were a young couple, we compared our outflow with our income, and we were by no means living above our means in this, any sense, except that we had double tuition, we had a house payment, car payment, or a rental rather, and we had all these different bills, and the outflow, we had two jobs. At one point I had two jobs, and she had a job, so three jobs, and yet the outflow exceeded the income. But we knew we'd continue to sow, we'll continue to tithe, we'll continue to pray, and we stand on the promises of God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am still saying that. Notice the name of Jesus is in there. And Jesus is the one who shed his blood. The word of God, the Bible says, is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6. It's powerful. It's living and active and sharp. When I was out at sea, I prayed in the name of Jesus, and I said, God, wisdom is the principal thing. This is how I negotiated. God, I'm going to need this from you. Because when I was on my way out there, they were joking. They said, search and rescue in New Zealand is not the same as America. And besides, where we're going, we're so remote, it would take days for them to... And then the grid thing and all that, because we have the beautiful... Coast Guard. I got rescued by the Coast Guard. In fact, Chelsea's been in touch with one of the guys that rescued me. He's now in Texas, and Chelsea calls him our new family friend, our new best friend, you know, who happened to be a Christian. He said that when he got the SOS, the Mayday signal from my friend Keith, they thought it was another diversion from the drug dealers that try to divert them when they come in from Mexico to try to, and they thought it was not real. They actually challenged it because it didn't sound legit, but it was legit. I'm living on borrowed time. I'm just here from the dead telling you that there is help in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, an anchor for our souls. It is the foundation we live on. Every one of the pillars in this building was engineered by and supervised by competent architects who had a responsibility then to take it to the city and county, and then it was their engineering responsibility to make sure piers were poured, because this is a floodplain and a lot of it is shifting sort of silt, but they had to dig down to bedrock to lay the foundation. That's why we could come in here year in and year out, and it's nice and secure. We even had that Good Friday storm, and the wind blew so hard, and thank God it was solid. And I want to tell you, the word of God, the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus are more solid than you and I will ever understand. Eternity, it'll take eternity for even grasp how amazing, how mighty, how powerful, how profound, how excellent Jesus is. Listen, man, depressed people, I pray breakthrough on you. People stuck in a hole, I pray you get pulled out. People lost at sea, I pray you find your way back to the boat. I pray, God, give the captain wisdom. I called him out by name, Pete. While he was in the boat, he told me, the two pastors were there, they were panicked. He said, brothers, we need to pray. The pastors of one the largest church in New Zealand, and the other one of the largest churches in California. And the thing they were worried about, they weren't thinking about me anymore. They were thinking about them having to call Patsy, because that would freak me out. So Pete had the presence of mind, and he said, let's pray. So he prayed, and I was praying for Pete. God, I'm going to need you to give him wisdom. Show him about when I left. Speak to him about the currents, about the wind, and God, give him wisdom to find me. Give him wisdom. And as I was watching the land, there's little bitty islands, and they were just shrinking, and I was being pulled out into the open sea. And I even said out loud, I told my family, this wasn't any different than any other real battle I've had. It felt almost the same. Different, but same as, but different. How many of you sheep have a story you need to tell? We overcome by the word of our testimony. Polish them off and speak them out. Stand on the word of God. Plead the blood of Jesus over your situation. Use the name of Jesus with its intended authority. That's why I get so grieved when people use the name of Jesus in vain. Because it's the name above every name, man. Salvation is embedded in the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus. See, in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Depression has to lift. Lack has to be broken and abundance has to come. In the name of Jesus, suppression of evil in our nation, abating of hostility in the name of Jesus over our city, in the name of Jesus, in your situation. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus, on the authority of the Holy Word of God, that you will get such a breakthrough starting right now.